All right. Okay. Well, all right. Renee Garcia, thank you so much for being on Radiant Creators. Today, we're on location at Flying J's in Mississippi. And we've been hanging out with diesel mechanics and getting warmed up.
Just my jam.
Yeah. All right. So, of course, you may have heard of the book. You know, I didn't look recently. When was this guy first published?
Just a few months ago.
Okay. So I'm a little late to the game, but I finally heard of it. And so how do we get started? Well, if anybody who has ever gotten into reality transurfing at all, of course, has heard of Renee, probably seen some of her videos as she breaks down the topics. I think she's the only person who ever was really endorsed by the author of that book. I believe so. Right. And
there were some others endorsed, but I, for a number of years, was the closest to him. And so, yeah. And then the infamous blacklist occurred.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know of that. I love the book and I have my reality transurfing, like many on the shelf, and I've read most of it, but I haven't really been, as knowledgeable, you know, not quite into the culture. Like I don't know about the blacklist, but it sounds cool. Sounds very, you know, those things happen. They certainly do. Yes. Reality Transurfing is quite the big book. It's quite the lot of knowledge. And it seems like one thing I'd start out asking is, now the quantum capitalist, of course, we can see some reality transurfing influence there. But first of all, you know, thanks for being on the show. You know, how you doing today? And by the way, where did all the inspiration from this come from? Because I know it's not just reality transurfing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been studying transurfing for the last decade. And I think the main problem for me, which is also a similar issue with other readers and followers of Vadim's work, is it was pretty bulky and there wasn't a lot of practical application examples. The tone was antiquated. I mean, it's a great book. I absolutely would tell anyone interested in transurfing to read it 100%. I mean, if you can stomach reading that volume of knowledge, that type of book that's going to take you a month to finish if you go hard on it every day, it's absolutely worth it. It changed my life. But I'm a little hardcore and, you know, I'm an extremist. A lot of people aren't, and a lot of people don't have the time for something like reality transurfing. So I broke it down. The book is heavily inspired by transurfing. It's just in my tone and it's much more modern. I mean, it really, I just needed to give it that practical modern tilt with a lot of examples and exercises and stories, vignettes of real life people, you know, fucking it up and then doing it right via the transurfing knowledge. There's also Tufty, the priestess knowledge in there as well, which was Vadim's second, you know, most popular book. And then it's just my, you know, it's my life story with it without telling my actual story. You know, that's my next book that's getting ready to drop, Quantum Hillbilly. But oh, wow. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. That's all my story. So this is really just a non-personal account, if you will, of the knowledge and the concepts being used by me in my life and what I experienced and how I actually made them work for me.
I like that. Yeah, the practical application because, yeah, Reality Transurfing, amazing book, but that's almost something that, you know, quite often a person takes on as like a year. Oops, sorry about that. My little camera fainted. There we go. But that's kind of something that a person tends to almost like take on as like a multi-year study or something. So it's quite the, so you've made it a lot more approachable and practical for people. I do like that. And of course it really is, you've made it your own thing. We'll see if my camera will stay there for us. I may have to get some more tape. Anyway, so, and one of the things that I do like is, in your book, in The Quantum Capitalist, one of the things that I do like is it really felt like it was a book about find your own quantum capitalist, because it seems that a lot of, and I call them motivationalists, it's a big thing these days. You know, we have motivationalists and they're out there, and some just say meditate. Some are all kind of steroid driven and they have like spiky hair and they beat your head on the table and they say, you're going to be a millionaire. You know, there's this, but there's very few that aren't saying, hey, do what I did. This is success. You need to be able to do these things and then you'll be successful. And I feel like a lot of people who follow motivationalists are sort of a little bit having a hard time because this person's telling them that their life is success. And yeah,
it's such a hand job.
It is
such a fucking hand job. And I mean, I never saw myself ever coming into this role, but part of the reason why I accepted the invite is because I was grossed out. I mean, I felt like, first of all, I've seen behind the scenes with some of these folks' lives that are these, you know, motivational hand job artists, and their lives are fucked up. You know, their lives are fucked up. They're lonely. They've got issues with money, which is hilarious. I mean, I've seen people actually go to sell courses because they need money. And it's just like, man, you can't step to people. You've got to be whole first before you can. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before you help others on a crashing plane, right? I mean, it's that kind of vibe. And a lot of the people in this scene, it's, you know, for those of you that don't, that are watching, that may not know the reality transurfing terminology, it's inner intention, right? It's using will and ego and force and pressure and applying that shit to your reality, trying to achieve a result. And the reason that I feel I can speak to what it is that I'm speaking to now is because I existed in that mode for the majority of my life, climbing out of poverty, climbing out of a trailer park, climbing out of, you know, feeling less than and like a have not. And when you don't have a lot, you know, I've got a ninth grade education. I'm, you know, not somebody that you know, given my past, like most people in my position, didn't really achieve very much in their lives, like the people back at home, you know. So I had to use that force, will, inner intention, ego, hustle, grind, all that kind of crap, because it's all I had for a while. But as my craft developed and as I started, you know, gaining new skills and working on my intelligence, working on my self-awareness, developing myself, I realized that it's just not where it's at living like that. You know, it's just not where it's at. And whatever you do achieve for yourself in that mode, it's really not going to be pleasurable. And that's really where a lot of this knowledge is derived, is like, I did the hustle grind thing for a lot of years. And, you know, at the end of it, I felt, yeah, the bank account was full and I had some accomplishments under my belt, but I was fucking miserable. I was lonely. I was confused more than ever. I think the worst thing, and this is why so many billionaires, you know, end up being so utterly fucked up and depressed and addicted to drugs and alcohol and sex and all that kind of stuff, is because you really do believe that you're going to amass wealth, accumulate wealth, achieve this level of status, and then you're going to suddenly feel like you did something, you made it, you're a whole person. And when you haven't worked on you, I mean, when you haven't worked on what really helps you to feel fulfilled and feel meaning in your life, no amount of money is going to fill that void. And you touched on the book being like, you're creating your own standards of wealth with this knowledge. And this is so important, because if you're adhering to the standards that are set by society, by the matrix, by, you know, the culture that surrounds you, if you're listening to these, you know, con artists, hustle grinders, breaking it down exactly how much will and ego you need to use to, you know, get the job done, then you will most likely arrive to the same place that I did, where, you know, if you do it right, it's like, yeah, you hack the matrix, you won the matrix blue ribbon, you got all the shit and you got the car and you got the this and you got the that, but you're a void, you're a black hole, it's like the more you think it's gonna solve your problems, but the more you amass, the more problems you have, and the emptier you feel inside. And it wasn't until I really started to create my own standards that I flipped that around on its head and started to actually fucking be happy with my life, you know. And this is where it's at. I'm making less money now than I ever have in my life, but I've restructured my life to where it really doesn't matter. And I spend all day, every day being creative, doing the things that I want to do, creating, you know, new ideas for books and executing them and podcasts and, you know, all the stuff that really brings me joy. And the bottom line of it, money really does not play a role in that whatsoever. So yeah, it's funny because I created this book to help people understand the value in creating your own standards and how to actually make money without, you know, forcing yourself through that, you know, being the square peg, forcing yourself through the round hole. And in creating the book, I actually devalued money in my life to the most extreme extent ever. And like, I couldn't be happier. So it had sort of a result that I wasn't quite expecting, but is delightful. And I'm so happy that I'm in the place that I am in now. And yeah, it's money's just become less important to me over time. And I think that really was the key for me. But I still make money. But now it's kind of like, you know, if I make money or if I don't make money, I really don't give a shit. You know, it's not like how it used to be where I'd make money, you know, I'd catch a big windfall, like I'd sell a piece of real estate or have a couple of really good jewelry deals, or my courses would be rocking and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm fucking killing it, you know, and I'd get that adrenaline high and that, like, you know, all the endorphins going, feeling good about the money going into my bank account. And then the months that I didn't make that same amount of money, I'd be depressed and feeling like I wasn't doing this, you know, like I wasn't doing it right. And I'd be hard on myself, and all that's kind of gone now. Like, I just don't live my life like that anymore. My sense of self and meaning and value in this world just isn't attached to money anymore. Hallelujah. You know?
Yeah. All those standards that somebody else set, you know, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely, I can tell that you've had some, you know, experience with motivationalists because, you know, you definitely get where they're coming from. And I think I now have a new, like how they put it, like a historic fiction book, kind of, you know, like a fiction book based on reality, where it's going to be called A Confessions of a Motivational Handjob Artist.
Yeah, so it's awesome. I will co-author. Yeah, I can't even watch it. I can't even watch it. I feel so repelled. I feel so disgusted. Like, as soon as I see, you know, I'm not going to go off and name any names here.
Oh yeah, we could, but yeah, we don't have to. Yeah.
I'm sure we all know who they are, but there's, you know, there's these repeat offenders, and it's just like, I feel for the people watching this stuff. I was never a victim of it because I think, and this is probably my, you know, my, this is a way in which I've entered the self-development scene that, like, it really has benefited me and also helped other people to trust me, is that I didn't have any exposure to it before I started. I came in completely blind. So like, for me, I didn't have all these, like, these systems that these people run and, you know, all these types of, you know, this stuff that captivates people and gives people this type of they call it the suntan effect, where you go into a Tony Robbins thing and he pumps you up, you know, he inflates your ego, he gets you all pumped up, you get the group vibe going, he's going hard, everybody's feeling it, and yeah, I'm sure it feels really, really powerful, and you leave there and you're like juiced, right? You're, oh my god, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna fucking kill it, and then after 3 days you're back to where before you entered the seminar, you know. And I believe that some people can take that ball and run with it, but the ego is a motherfucker and it is going to most likely overpower that knowledge, whatever it is that you've learned, whatever energy that was put in your direction. Your ego is going to come in and convince you of all the ways that it isn't going to work for you and you can't do it. And that stuff's meant for others and not you. And it's too hard. And this is all the challenges in between point A and point B and all that kind of stuff. And the ego is going to take back the control and dominate, and you're going to let it. And then, you know, the next year you might go into another Tony Robbins seminar and get all pumped up. And then that cycle just repeats itself. You've got to really work at breaking down the ego, which when I started doing this, I was in like an absolute, you know, dark night of the soul, ego death. And I came to it really, really broken, you know, myself. Mm. So when I started talking, I wasn't running on all that program that the Tony Robbins style characters are running on. And I wasn't looking to pump anyone's ego up. I was just like, fuck, I'm broken. And this is what I'm going to do. This is the first step that I'm going to take. And then I'm going to take this step. And I took it. And people started to watch me do this stuff, you know, live. Like I was rolling this out as, you know, a spiritually and metaphysically broken person, if you want to call it that. Yeah. And people just saw me actually do the stuff, and I wasn't trying to convince anyone of anything, and I wasn't coming in and pumping people's egos up. I was just showing people the concepts, and that's what this is about. You know, it's like actually doing the work from the ground up rather than inflating the ego to an extent that you feel like you can conquer the world, and then maybe you do and maybe you don't, but you probably don't. And I would love to see, you know, this is a little dark, but I'd love to see those Tony Robbins people like a week after the thing, because I'm almost certain that the majority of them are so depressed they can't get out of bed, you know. Yeah. It's like that, you know, trajectory to the fucking stars. But if your foundation doesn't support that, if the structure below you doesn't support you being that high, and then the ego still, you're letting the ego, you know, run the show, that's just going to shoot up like that and then go like this. And I think people in this world following these self-development people are just on this constant, you know, up and down roller coaster. And there's an easier way to do it. There's an easier way to do it.
There definitely is. Yeah. And the thing is that presence, that self-awareness, that motivation, that joy, that bliss, that radiates from the inside out. So you really can't get it out there anyway. I mean, you can get a sort of a contact high, you know, after Tony Robbins, but that's the thing. If you're not radiating it, if you don't own it, if it's not your presence, then yeah, it just comes and goes. And I won't lag on the motivationalist too much, but yeah, my upcoming book, Confessions of a Motivational Handjob Artist, will be out in fall of 2025. Anyway, you know, which I think would be great actually, because you could take everything that they're pushing and just say, I'm going to make a short Reader's Digest version. So here, guys, if you want to know what they're doing here, you're done. Boom. Now you can read that, have some fun with it, then we'll get real over here. But there's the story. Because also, you're right about a lot of their lives. And I used to work in an industry that did trade shows for natural health stuff. And we oftentimes had a lot of, oh my gosh, you name it. I won't name anybody, but just a lot of people that are well known for being vegans, raw foodists, carnivores, whatever, who'd come and they'd be speaking and they'd be selling their stuff. And a lot of them, they have like an extreme diet. They're saying you should just eat meat and that's it. Everything else is starvation food, you know, or you should be a raw foodist or you should this or that. And when I was there, I got this incredible insight. They're liars. They don't live that way. They don't. They made themselves sick. You know, they had terrible deficiencies. They screwed up their bodies, but they were selling that product, you know, and then rather than say, okay, maybe living on only meat is kind of retarded, right? Yes. Like, you know, they just keep the line going. And so as I would see what they'd be eating between, you know, seminars and such like that. And it's like, hey, wait a second, you're a raw foodist. You've been pushing this crap for 15 years and you're eating poached salmon in like grass-fed organic butter. Like what, you know, like, well, cause it almost killed me. Well, then why are you still pushing it, bro? Like,
they got to. They're fucking smoked salmon depends on it. They got to pay for that smoked salmon.
I know that high end smoked salmon, you know, imported from Prague, whatever, you know, they need that. Yeah. And so, well, yeah, I definitely think that, you know, and you guys, how you mentioned just putting it out there, you were making the videos. And I think that that really is one of the most badass things a person can do, I think, is just to just get out there and not worry about it. Because there's a certain aspect, this place that we get to where it's not about ourselves and you just start to just put it out there. You know what I mean? And it's kind of a selfless act, I guess you could say. But when you really just get very vulnerable and say, I'm going through this process and I'm going to hit, you know, record on the laptop and I'm just going to share it because I think it has value. Like that's really that. Now see, that's the place you have to get to that the motivationalists are not going to get you to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's, that really is, I was horribly insecure my entire life, you know, terrified because I felt limited, you know, not having an education, growing up the way that I did, you know, I entered my adult life with very little, and my self-esteem was incredibly low. And I was endlessly talking myself out of anything that I needed. If there was a risk that someone could judge me or critique me or say something, I just wouldn't do it. I mean, I was terrified, and I had from 20 to 25 years old, I was married, and it was an abusive marriage, and I was sort of perpetuating all the, you know, programs and systems of the generations before me with early marriage and, you know, minimum wage jobs and all that kind of stuff. So coming out of that in my late 20s, I was a beat down human, you know. I was scared of practically everything, and I managed to find success. I managed to gain some self esteem, probably not in the healthiest of ways, you know. But I did it. But I still felt intellectually and with other aspects of myself, like talking on camera, It was excruciatingly painful at first. I mean, there were times when I would turn that camera on in the beginning of Transurfing TV and I would mess up what I was saying and I'd stop the camera and I'd start again and I'd mess it up and I'd mess it up and I'd mess it up and I'd become so frustrated. I'd actually start crying and then I'd become, I traumatize myself and I'd put the camera away and say, oh, you can't do this. But then I would be like, nah, this is you, you told yourself, like, this is, you felt it, right? You felt it inside and like, you're not going to just fold that quick. And man, I played that shit out live. I'd get up, I'd start the videos and I'd tell people, you know, shaking that I was nervous and upload it, you know, and just let it roll. And the response that I got from that was so powerful. You know, here I thought all these people would judge me and say mean things. And I definitely have my fair share of haters for sure. I have people that have always said, you know, all kinds of things about me. And I got used to that shit. But the majority of the people were so supportive, and it was encouraging to them. And there's been a lot of people that have come to me and been like, man, I started my YouTube channel because you showed me, like, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have the best, you know, post-production. You don't have to have, you know, experience talking on camera, like just to put yourself out there. And and what that does, you know, what that taking an action, taking a series of actions like that, man, I am, I wouldn't say I'm fearless, but it takes a lot to, like, I can't even imagine a scenario now where I would back down. I'm pretty much willing to step to anything at this point in my life. That moment where I dedicated myself to making that channel and moving through that space and getting riskier with my content. I mean, there's a video that I filmed. It was probably 2 or 3 years ago where I was getting a lot of hater stuff. I think the name of the video is called Hate on Me. I was getting a lot of hater stuff at the time. And I decided I was going to turn the camera on and just let myself, stream of consciousness, totally vulnerable, just talk. And I did it and I uploaded it. And it was so empowering. And after that, I decided that I was just really going to step to whatever came in front of me, just vulnerable, open, go into it. And even if I mess it up, even if I misstep, like, I was just going to do it. And some amazing things have happened in my life since then. So the power of vulnerability, the power of exposing yourself, the power of pressing record when you don't feel ready. I mean, when you don't feel ready to do something is absolutely, without a shred of fucking doubt, the best time to do it.
Yes.
You know, it's the best time to do it. So that's sort of what I'm about these days. You know, I'm pressing record like a motherfucker when I'm not ready to do it. I mean, this is an act of it. This is an act of it for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't even exactly intend to do this. I was actually making a manual for some people that had asked me for some deeper content, and I started making the manual, and then I was reading through it, and I was like, oh shit, I should actually turn this into a book. But then, you know, the ego kicks in, like, oh, you're not ready for that, and oh, is it going to sell? And, you know, like, it's been out a couple months. It's been just total grassroots, like, promotion, nothing. I haven't paid for any ads. I haven't, you know, even podcasts, I don't really do podcasts that often anymore. And, you know, I've sold like 1,500 or 1,600 copies. So it's, you know, it's, and that's just my first, you know, that was just the first one out the gate. Now I sort of have the formula down and I'm going to move through the rest of them. Quantum Hillbillies next. And yeah, it's press and record when you don't feel like you're ready to do
Yeah,
it.
I like that. Well, you know, there's definitely a podcast name idea for people. Press and record like a motherfucker, like, on iTunes and all major streaming platforms. Wow. Well, and that's the thing. I think to follow your excitement, you go, I want to do this. I'm doing this. I don't really know why. I'm not really attached to the outcome, but I'm going to put it out there and then we'll see. I think in a sense, now it's one of the things in your book that you did talk about is, and I forget the chapter, but it's trust. You know, in that having that positive mantra, and I made a note of that somewhere here, but basically it is, it's visually, where did I put it? Anyway,
can you hear me?
Yeah, it's trust lesson. Yeah. Lesson 76, having like a positive mantra, you know, because the thing is so many people and I go in and out during the day, so I don't have this down completely, but you know, we don't always believe that the universe, actually our consciousness, is manifesting, and that really we can talk about the boomerang about in your book as well, but that if you have a positive mantra, I don't think people realize the difference that would make. It's something that I, you know, like I've been doing this like motivational and spiritual stuff for a long time. And I went, damn, you know, I haven't thought about that. I certainly know what an affirmation is, but I never really made one that just reminded me that the universe is trying to kiss my ass. It is.
Yes.
It really is. And it's kind and it's good and things work out. And, you know, so I love that in your book that you make a point of that, because then you just do things because it's the thing that you do. It brings you bliss, connects you to your source and to the community that you want to be a part of. And you just did it. And you're like, well, I don't know. The book will sell. It'll sell as many as it's supposed to. I would like that to be millions, right? But the important thing is that I did it. And now what's next? I love not being attached to outcome, because nothing ever really works when we're too attached to that outcome, you know?
Oh yeah. Yes. I think as soon as we attach, you know, a perceived idea of how something should play out, you're immediately doing it for the wrong reason. You've got to go into something because you just truly want to create. And when you maintain that creator's mode, when you're riding on that, whatever it is you're doing, and Vadim Zeland talks about this a ton in the book, and it really is so true. It's like, you know, this is where the joy and the happiness and the meaning is found. If your path from point A to point B is something that is forced, or you've got to coerce yourself to do it, or you know, you're not feeling it only to achieve said outcome, it's like, man, the journey to point B isn't going to be pleasurable. And then achieving point B, actually getting what it is that you set out to achieve, isn't going to be pleasurable. And releasing yourself from all of that and trusting that mantra. I mean, that mantra has changed people's lives. Like, I'm looking to see if I have some of the stickers here. Oh, I do. You know, there's probably tens of thousands of these around the world now. This mantra, my world's taking care of me, everything's going according to plan, things are working out beautifully, and will continue to do so with ease. You know, I know it's cheesy and it's like, you know, love and light kind of sound and stuff, but it really does, when you get this down and you really do believe that no matter what's playing out, your world is taking care of you exactly what it is that you need, right? Exactly what it is that you need. You can go into creator's mode and exist there, creating what it is that you want and not getting in the way of the success that's going to come to you as a product of really just doing something because you fucking love it. And a lot of people I know, they're like, well, you know, I've got a 9-to-5 and I don't have the time and I need to make sure that it's going to hit. And as soon as somebody launches into that kind of mode, it's not the problem isn't what they think it is, in my opinion. And this has definitely been the case for me. My problem was I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to also be in creator's mode. I wanted, you know, all of these, I don't want to say conflicting ideas, but I wanted like Matrix blue ribbon life and also, you know, quantum mystic life. And what that resulted in was me sort of doing like a push and pull with my reality. I still wanted the pursuits of the ego, and I also wanted to let go. And it took a lot of work for me to get to a place where I really could let go of those pursuits of the ego and back down off of the modus operandi, the way that I had been conducting myself, the things that I had been going after for so long. It was really, I mean, it was like detoxing from a drug to get rid of that shit, right? Because I had been running on it so long. But then I had this other part of me, right, the mystic part of me, if you want to call it that, the part of me that had access to source and could pull the information from the source and wanted to trust that my world would deliver to me exactly what it was that I needed every day, and not, you know, not forsaken that trust. But they couldn't, those two versions of me couldn't exist at the same time. I had to either continue to be kind of like a hustler, or I had to switch over into this mode and just let a bunch of shit go. And that's what I did. And it was like the ultimate challenge. It was like fighting the big boss at the end of the video game, you know. Yeah. I had to get in there and be like, okay, who do you really, really want to be? Do you want to be considered a modern day mystic? Then you are really going to have to let go and trust your world. And I've said this to my community, and I know it sounds a little bit weird because it sounds kind of like the opposite of what transurfing actually is, which is you taking the initiative in creating your own reality, which is, you know, learning how to do that is absolutely, like, hands down the most valuable thing you can ever learn how to do in your life, really getting in there and learning how to do that. But for me now, I'm not really creating my own reality anymore. I'm letting source create my reality for me, trusting that the intention that I've set for myself, I'm like throwing that out there, and I'm not trying to do anything anymore. All I'm doing is answering the calls. So something comes in front of me, a challenge or a request or a new place to live or whatever. And I check in with myself. I feel how that feels. Is this helping me to arrive at that state of being that I have declared? Because now it's not about the money, right? Now it truly is about a state of being. Is this assisting me in the state of being, or is it hindering me from the state of being? Mm. And I'm kind of just letting source give me information, give me opportunity, give me ways in which I can connect. And then I'm just to that intention, and then I'm answering the call. So it's almost like I'm letting it just live through me now, you know. And this is I can't even describe it. It's one of the most powerful, you know, feelings I've ever felt. Yet I'm not really in control. I'm just kind of like letting life. I'm just a vessel, and I'm letting it just work through me, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. Because I think that at first there can be a feeling of, you know, my ego will be deleted or lessened, and then I won't exist, etc. But really, I call it the self, you know, beyond the ego is the self. And so I think it's almost like we get past the superficialities of the ego, which, you know, fine, we have to have a point of consciousness that we call us, but it becomes a deeper self. And I guess one of the things that I would just say to myself, you know, and or myself says to myself, whatever, is don't worry, you won't be deleted. Like, you know, your identity doesn't go away. You still know the self, you still know you just know you deeper. You know, I think that was one of the things I had to realize is that, oh yeah, I'm not getting deleted, you know, that because the ego goes, no, wait a second, we have to have a personality and we have to do this and we have to do that. And, you know, I guess just through, you know, continually working on it, I realized, don't worry about it. It's not going away. The self is good. You only actually get a stronger sense of identity. It's just not the same, but it's just as personal.
Doesn't yeah, it totally does. And I think especially in our modern society, like, the people's egos are out of control. And the saddest part of it is the egos are out of control in a bad way.
Yes.
Right. Not in a good way. Like, there's a way to do ego right. Ego can absolutely, like, reinforce, you know, what we were talking about earlier with the hustle and grind culture. Like, you can take your ego if you want to. I've done it a lot in my life, and I've made a lot of money doing it, and I've had a lot of really cool experiences doing it. Now, you know, there is the downside of that, and that is that you wake up one morning feeling like a complete piece of shit, and you don't want to be alive anymore. But you know, you can use your ego to catapult yourself. And I think, you know, when we look back historically on like how humans have used ego, you know, you could look at like, you know, this the New York 1980s, right? All the people working on Wall Street and like, you know, extravagant wealth and like parties and cocaine and blah, blah, blah. And that's like ego, you know, that was doing something that it was at least like, it was at least notable. Like, okay, now being, you know, in that mode, and that had its dark side, right? But there were at least positive gains there. And a lot of wealthy people are rocking that same game. But now, through the construct of social media and the internet and the Matrix is doing this dirty little thing with the human ego where it's dancing with it, and it's the product of it is that the Matrix and the ego together are co-creating this idea that all you're really worth is resigning yourself to a life of doom scrolling and Netflix, and to try to do anything else is futile. So it's gone in the opposite direction. Now the ego is actually not reinforcing things like I'm the shit and I'm going to go into this whatever and kill it and do really well. The ego is convincing the average person, the average American, that it's better to just stay put, that, you know, the system's rigged. There's no way for me to climb out. I don't have what it takes. And it's the ego is playing a really, really negative role in the average human's life. So, and I see that a lot. I mean, the number of people that, I mean, I hate to even talk about this stuff because it is super, super dark, but like there's a bunch of people that take my courses and they've been trying really hard. You know, they read the books and they study all the knowledge and they try really hard to get it. Yet I post an Instagram story and within seconds they watch the entire story from front to end. And every time I think, are you just sitting on Instagram like all day? Just as soon as my story comes up, you watch it from front to end. And I know exactly what it is. It's the ego overriding all the knowledge, all the course material. They've got it all inside of them. They know what to do, but the ego is overriding it, telling them that all they're worth is those hours and hours of doom scrolling. And it's fucking gross, you know? And that's sort of where I think, you know, things are headed with a lot of people, is just absolute resignation and, you know, the great fall of of human intention, like people that are not intending for anything, or the ego convincing them that their intentions aren't achievable, but they are, you know. And it's wasted potential. And when people come to me and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing all this stuff. Oh, you're writing your third book. Mm. Did all those videos. Oh, you did all this stuff. And I'm my response now is, I know it's shocking to see someone actually fulfill their potential because most people aren't, you know, most people aren't. But like, here's the funny part about it. even what I'm doing with my life or what I've done, you know, moving to a foreign country and getting involved in real estate and authoring books and starting YouTube channels and doing things with my other businesses that I do and the successes that I've had in my life, I'm still only operating at a fraction of my potential. You know, I really do believe that I'm still susceptible to some doom scrolling or Netflix binge or whatever, but at least I have some guardrails set up that protect me a little bit. And a lot of people don't even have those up right now. And it's just like, man, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I think in your book, and I forget where it was at, but yeah, you do mention an attention audit. And, you know, it's like we can kind of have, I think as you put it, I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, but we can do Matrix Reloaded every day, or we can find ourselves in Planet Fuck Yes.
I mean, the attention audit is
essential. Yeah,
it's essential, but it's what most people don't want to do because I even give a breakdown in there of the amount of hours that people spend watching TV. And, you know, then I put into there like also now doom scrolling and social media and all this stuff. And like when you look at that, you're in a place of lucidity and you actually stare that shit down and you have the balls to draw out like a fucking pie chart of where your time, attention, and energy is going, and you acknowledge that you're fucking that up bad. Like most people do not have the courage to do some of that kind of stuff. It really does take a lot, because once you have lifted the veil on yourself and you realize the potential you're squandering and the puppet you are playing to the Matrix, that has got to be the most humbling. If you have the balls to sit in that for a moment and just feel that wasted potential and that manipulation by the Matrix, and you accept it for what it is and you don't just let it go, and you dedicate yourself to not being the puppet and not squandering your potential, like that's half the game right there, you know.
Oh, big time.
More than half the game. Yeah
And that's the thing, we really have to have that self-love, as people call it, because the thing is, we're all, as we do work on ourselves, going to have to realize, you look back at your life and go, oh man, did I ever screw that up? Oh, talk about squandered decades. You know, but that's fine. It's fine. Everybody does it. You are like part of the 1%, because you're going to stop doing it. And all that you screwed up is just fine. What's not okay is if you keep doing it.
Yes.
And if you stop doing it, you won, and you did something that most don't. And yeah, I think right now a lot of doom scrolling, because we do have, as I've heard it, like called the love train and the fear train, you know, and they're both leaving the stations, and it's going to get harder and harder for them to see each other. You're not even going to be able to wave anymore. And the platform had to be ended. So there used to be the no man's land of the platform. Which one do I want to go on? Do I want to go? I'm going to go back and forth between the love and the doom train, you know. But now, I don't think you can. So I think that's one of the intensities that we're feeling right now. One guy we've had on the show, Frank Jacob, calls it the tale of two timelines. You know, humanity is splitting timelines. So you're really, you know, and I don't like to put it in such a, you know, a blatant term, like I'm making an ultimatum, but you kind of got to pick your timeline, pick your train, because I don't know where things are going, but I just feel kind of a quantum, you know, timeline, massive shift coming. And I think that one day we might not even notice it. Maybe it's happening every day. I guess ultimately every moment is the moment, but it's going to get easier, or it's just going to become hopeless. Do you know what I mean? Like I would say it's worth being on the love train, because something's happening. And I don't even know how to put it into a question. What do you think?
So two thoughts. First thought is that we are living in an age of overvaluing the victim, you know, and it's gotten worse and worse over time. And now it's like, you know, we see this playing out in the US where, you know, people that are afflicted and damaged and, you know, drug addicted and having to commit crimes to come up in this world, and this protective bubble that things like the US government and culture as a whole is putting around these people, and that frequency of activity. If you get sucked into that, you know, as I say, mm-hmm. you can't play the victim and the master at the same time. You got to choose. You simply cannot master your reality in victim mentality or victim mode, period. You're not going to do it. In my opinion, it's an absolute impossibility. You might be able to gain some things here or there by playing the victim, but you're never going to become a master. You're never going to become a master. So like, you've got to really start to understand that difference, that stark difference between the frequency of victim and the frequency of master. And you've got to try to keep yourself out of, you know, being exposed to people that are in victim mode, adhering to ideas that support victim mode, you know, playing the victim yourself. You've got to just turn away from all of that stuff and really start immersing yourself in the frequency of master, you know, and being around people that are masters and understanding things like, you know, philosophy, like stoicism. This is a really good one. If you want to start somewhere, like go read some like stoic philosophy from the past. This is a really good way to put yourself in the frequency of master. And that's kind of where it's at. Like, you know, you're talking about these two trains leaving. Those are the two trains from my perspective. There's the train going towards mastery and becoming a master and mastering yourself in your life. And then there's, you know, being a victim, participating in victimhood, all that kind of gross stuff that isn't going to create much in your life of value. I mean, I read some statistic the other day of the amount of, and sorry to get a little political here, but I'm just going to spit this out there. The amount of liberal women that are on an antidepressant or some type of psychiatric medication. It's like, well, of fucking course you are, you know, like, like, why wouldn't you be? You think adhering to that ideology is going to put you in a positive place where you feel good about yourself and your life and the environment that you live in? No, you know, you're going to feel like the world is fucking crushing you. And guess what, bitch? It is. So go take your meds. So the other thing that I'd like to say is that I read something not too long ago that, and I'm not big into astrology and I don't even know where the root of this is. I couldn't really speak to, you know, why this is occurring. But the thing was that we're moving from a place, an era, if you will, of material and into frequency, like yes. being more of the commodity, if you will. And I think that's what's happening to me. I think that I'm not sure how. I'm sure I will discover it in my time here on this planet. But I really do feel as though I am an embodiment for the metaphysical. I don't know how this is. I don't know exactly what brought me to this place. But I can actually feel that I am the embodiment of this exact thing, moving from the material to frequency, being the driving you know, the driving energetic like force. And my life is a perfect example of this, you know, me being overly focused on material gains and money and wealth and status and blah 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 blah. And waking up and realizing that had gotten me nowhere, doing the work that I have in the last 10 years to shift me out of that state of being preoccupied with the material, and allowing myself to move into a space where frequency was really going to help me to access what I had hoped and tried to access for so long in the material realm, you know? And this has been really, really powerful for me because, as you can imagine, it's flipped my understanding of myself and how the world works completely upside down. Like, holy shit, my happiness is found in an entirely different place than I ever thought that I didn't even know existed, really. Mm-hmm. And my frequency has become my God, if you will. You know, it is my God. It's the thing that I protect more than anything else. You know, I can play in some pretty dark, you know, shadowy. I'm really into shadow work. I'm really into the shadow self. But my frequency is so high that it sort of supports me in whatever it is that I'm feeling, human feelings, different places that I play in my day-to-day life. And the frequency is the thing that is absolutely helping me to access all of the stuff that I've ever really wanted. And I think that this is the moment for people to sort of learn that that's where it's at. And and we're seeing it play out now in real time. We can see it online. Like, I saw this guy the other day on Instagram, had a big following. I can't even remember what his account was about. But he's walking out to a park, and he's like, check this park out. This is all free. And I can go and I sit under this tree and it's free, you know? And he's like talking about all this stuff that he can do for free. And I think people are, the facade is starting to crumble. It's not in the crap that you can buy yourself. It's in the beautiful tree at the beautiful park that you can go and sit under and ponder your fucking existence and like maybe try to connect to source and maybe try to download an idea of something that you can follow through with that's going to help you to feel like you have some meaning on this planet. And like all that shit's free. All that shit's free. So it's like you can, you can go places with.
Oh, yeah.
This stuff, you know, this is the frequency thing has legs. And if you want to detach from the material and really start to develop and understand frequency and what that is and what it means for your life, man, there's the golden ticket right there, you know?
Yeah. And you mentioned boomerangs in your book. And I think something that resonates while you're saying that for me is the notion of boomerangs. And I think that you can call it your emotional, maybe like best to say like vibrational, energetic consciousness set point, you know? And as we raise that, regardless of our moods, good mood, bad mood, sad, happy, we have this certain like vibrational set point. And every time we raise that a percent or so, our entire life is different.
You know? Yes.
And so that's the thing is where, and I think that as we do the work, like the work in your book, and one thing I've mentioned to people is there are course writing exercises, but don't worry. It's not annoying. It's not too much. They're fun. And, sometimes you feel like you're like filling journals. Well, no, it's not like that. This is more to the point and productive, you know, the actual journaling work. But as we get our, and I love what I hear, I think like Gen Alpha calling it like, or, you know, they call it Riz, you know, like when you get your Riz up, your energy up, and they speak of it as an energy. So every like 1% higher Riz, your entire life experience is different. Who you know is different, where you live is different. Everything is different. And that's the thing I like about the quantum capitalist is that where you've got your motivational, you know, hand job artists. Well, they're saying, no, do this and you'll have Riz. Or maybe ultimately, if we can do that inner work, do some work, get your Riz up 1%, then that whole question of what am I going to do? How am I going to make money? What's life going to be like? I think a lot of people, they don't know what they want to do. They don't know how they would make money. They don't know how they'd be self-employed. But I tell you what, get Riz up 1% and you will know. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's everything is the Riz to me.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. I saw something the other day that said, heaven's not a place. It's a frequency.
Yes.
And, you know, what you're touching on here is one of the most powerful parts of reality transurfing and reality creation. And once you kind of get this, like you're good to go. Like you can live a life completely fucking blissed out, you know, which is a mode that I exist in a lot of the time. I mean, I have a life now where creatively I'm super supported. You know, I have lots of interesting people in my life and I do lots of cool little, you know, things with my days and I am in really good physical shape and I eat really healthy and I don't, you know, I have firm boundaries. I don't allow toxic people into my life and I am in a perpetual state of, like doing accounting for my frequency. What can I take away? What can I push out that is keeping me low or hindering my frequency in some way? And what can I invite in that's going to boost it up? And when I get into that, you know, when I really am doing a good job of keeping myself energetically clean, the frequency is building, the Riz is building, that experience is mirrored back to me, like that frequency yes. is mirrored back to me in my experience of reality. And you can get yourself into some pretty wild states of being when you understand this and play with it and achieve success and continue to push that higher and higher and higher. I mean, it's better than any drug, you know, it's better than any, like when you can feel blissed out for a week straight up, like without breaking, every morning you wake up and you're like, God damn, this is my life. This is fucking amazing. Going through the day, doing creative stuff, hanging out with friends, eating well, spending quality time with family, exercising, enjoying life, doing simple things. Like the other day, I mean, this isn't going to sound profound by any stretch of the imagination, but it was really profound for me. I was probably on like a 5 or 6 day high of just having my frequency jacked. And I was going out for a walk up a road close to me, which I typically walk. And it's like an incline and it's through the forest and it's really beautiful. And it just rained the night before. And I was coming down the hill and I just stopped and I could hear like water falling from the leaves still. And there was a small creek nearby and I was looking around me. And I thought to myself, how many miracles have needed to play out for this scene right now that I'm experiencing? Like, how much has had to play out in order for this level of creation really to be experienced completely lucid by me, a human, in this moment? And it was like one of the top experiences of my life. I stood there for probably just about a minute or two in absolute awe of the world, nature, my place, my small little place within it, my being able to see it clearly and experience it and feel it, and my frequency being as high as the nature that I was like really, really just fully experiencing it. I wasn't headphones on, not paying attention. I was in it. I was in it. And it was such a powerful moment. And I thought, this is it. This is Buddha sitting under a tree. This is what you are going to, you're going to look back on in your life and feel happy and proud that you were able to achieve that level of consciousness. And, you know, it's in there that things are going to come to you for your survival that are going to provide meaning and value to your life. The mornings that I have like that, where I download ideas and insights and way to make money and all that stuff, it's all coming from source. It's not coming from me. I'm not generating any of these ideas on how I can, you know, be wealthy or have money in my bank. They're coming to me because of this exact state. And like you said, with the boomerang, you know, it's cyclical, right? You're feeling this high vibration, you're throwing that out into the world, your experience of reality is increasing, you're elevating yourself, your riz is coming up. And with this, all that matrix stuff kind of falls away, all that programming, all that fear, all that envy, all that ego stuff. And when you're open like this, then this is how the ideas come in.
Yes.
That are going to help you facilitate what it is that you're looking to facilitate in the material world. And then even when you do, it's not like it really matters because you've already cracked the code, right? You're already killing it. You don't need the big bank account. You don't need it's nice to have the accoutrements and the extra things, but you're definitely not riding on that like outcome anymore, you know?
Yeah. And like you put it, downloads. And that's a term that I think has been around probably a couple of years now, maybe even longer. But, and that kind of shows to me an evolving consciousness here in humanity, because they really are downloads. It's the perfect word. You know, it's a download. It's coming to me. It was out there. Now I've got it. I downloaded it. Who downloaded it? The self did. Who gave it to me? Consciousness, you know, it really is in a magical state. And I tell you, I love hearing that because I love when people say, oh, I had a download, and people like us, let's say, will go, oh, I totally get what you mean.
Yes.
You know, and we go, how magical, that's so great. You know, I love it when that happens.
Yeah. And people that don't have what it is that they want in this world are really just, what they're experiencing is a disconnect from source, or they're not listening when the things are coming through, you know, because if you really do have like a solid connection to source and you are able to understand when you're receiving a download and then move on it. And then that's where, you know, like when I talk about answering the calls, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm either being presented with an opportunity, or I'm downloading information that's going to help me from point A to point B. And it's up to me to answer that call, to quiet the voice of my ego telling me, ah, no, that's going to be too hard. Oh, no, you don't know how to write a book. Oh, no, you can't move there. Oh, no, you can't, you know. And just answering the call and moving into that space. And once you get into that rhythm, success, you know, compounds exponentially. You start getting things in your life. And then again, you're not really focused on the material. So it's just like, it's all good, you know, it's all good. Yeah.
And it seems like our state creates, you know, and so as we raise our energy, our vibes, our riz, as that state increases in vibration, awareness, consciousness, presence, that's where it's all happening from. That's the state we have to be in to get the downloads. And so how do you think meditation plays into this? Like for me, I know that there's days I do and days I don't, but really when I do meditate and go, I'm just going to get up early and just be there in that place, you know what? It can be the hardest thing for me to do, to slow down and actually do that, but it's the most rewarding thing I'll do all day. Quite often.
Yeah, I mean, I used to meditate there's definitely a role,
mm-hmm.
you know, in personal evolution, like for, you know, meditation plays a role for sure. But I believe that a lot of people get caught, you know, in a negative space with meditation. I'm into active meditation. Yeah. I like to, you know, I'm a huge walker. Like I'll walk, you know, sometimes 10 to 20,000 steps a day. And it's in this kind of active meditation, like what I was talking about a few moments ago, where I'm really paying attention to the nature around me and I'm like, I'm dialed into it, you know, and there's a meditation there of being completely connected to source that's active. Yet I'm not, I think that meditation, the mistake people make with meditation is they're doing it like they do everything else. They're looking to it to provide them with something. There's an intention there, you know, and I've always hated it when I'm in like a yoga class or, you know, a meditation class and the teacher says, let's set an intention for this meditation. I'm like, you just fucked it up. It shouldn't be about that. It's not about setting an intention. Like as soon as you set an intention for your meditation or your practice, like you've declared that you're expecting an outcome, you're expecting something out of it. You should really just go into meditation to like completely fucking quiet all of that stuff. So what, you're going to go into meditation with your ego? You know, it's like, come on. It's not like you gotta, it's flip it around, go into it with absolutely zero intention. I believe that for me personally, I've gotten a lot more benefit from self-hypnosis, breathing exercises, things that truly get energy moving. You know, I'm extremely physical. I really enjoy getting physical energy flowing in and out of my body. This is what helps me to connect to source. If meditation is doing it for you, then do it. But I feel like a lot of people, meditation is like, you know, it's like the McDonald's of development. Like everybody talks about meditation and it's like 99% of the people meditating, if you even want to call it that, aren't exactly doing it right. Like it's, yeah, you shouldn't be going to it with a goal and waiting for something to happen. But meditation can be done right. I think there's some more powerful ways to quiet the mind and exist in a space where you can invite in a more powerful connection to source. But there's some active meditations that I teach that are really powerful, that there's not exactly a goal, but you're doing something within the meditation that facilitates something occurring. This can help people a lot because I feel like a lot of times people go into meditation, they're just like, oh, I don't know what to do. And then they're waiting for something. And yeah, I mean, it's learning how to do it right and not just following like Instagram, like sit down.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you might as well just watch Netflix, because Netflix would probably give you the same value. You know, that's why people actually watch TV, is it activates that part of the brain that kind of shuts everything down. You're just, you know, tuned into what it is that you're experiencing. And yeah, watching Netflix and meditation in its modern form are, I think, pretty much the same thing.
Well, that's awesome. That's great. I love some of those visuals, you know, like network, Netflix has a show now just called Meditation. It's just a blank screen. And I love that. It's so great. Are you guys watching meditation? It's so awesome. Oh, really? Yeah. You know? And then Oh gosh, I love that. And you know, the idea of McDonald's, I love that. Like you go and like that different little menu items, like Nirvana, yeah. You know, like ego yeah. gratification, hand job, you know, stuff like that. They're like, oh yeah, okay, I'll take the, you know. Well, it reminds me of a time when I was in a Sedona, Arizona, up the street, and was going to a sweat lodge, you know. And this guy, I guess he owns some New Age stores up there, and he walks in like the New Age uniform. It's like a white muumuu, you know, and he walks in and everyone's, you know, setting their intention, you know. And I thought it was hilarious. He has a New Age uniform here in Sedona. So he walks in and he sits down, and as we're all setting our intentions, you know, he goes, I am here to destroy my ego. Just like that. Like, he's so serious. And I'm like, dude, your ego is the only thing that showed up today. I mean,
oh my God. I would love, like, I am not the person to be invited to that stuff, by the way. Because yeah. I will go in and just start crushing people. I do not. I can't keep my mouth shut. I can't play along. I mean, I can play along if I really am like, okay, Renee, just chill the fuck out. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. Like, go into this and like, just chill. But yeah, typically I can't keep myself from saying something because it's just too easy. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's way too easy. And the fact that people are paying for this stuff, I mean,
yes.
This is the, now I've got courses for sale. Everybody knows that, but I'm the first person. Like when I get an email from somebody and they're like, I don't know where to start. You know, I found Reality Transurfing and I I'm looking at your courses and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, the courses are great. You definitely would benefit, but what you will benefit from more is learning how to do this shit for yourself and actually opening your eyes and, you know, becoming lucid about what reality is and what you are and learning to understand yourself, you know, not trying to understand something like Reality Transurfing, but actually taking that and using it to try to understand how you operate and doing it for you and doing it by yourself. This is the most powerful thing that you can do for yourself. So yeah, those environments where those characters come walking in with the New Age uniform on. Yeah.
Oh yeah. They absolutely do have
like,
it.
Fuck you, dude. Come on. Like, I would love to actually just stop a scene like that and just be like, are you actually buying this yourself that you are this person doing this thing? Or do you, or are you aware that you're attempting to just like extract resources from these people and embody this image that like, what is it? Do you know, or do you not know? Like, I would love to just put somebody on the spot like that and just see what they're,
oh yeah, yeah. It's like,
see how they respond. They would get me. They would remove me from the room so fast, like my head would spin. They just grab me and just like rip me out of there.
Oh yeah, it's like, wow. Did you just return from a Tony Robbins seminar?
Yeah.
Before the sweat lodge here? No, yeah.
Totally.
Oh yeah. Well, one of the things I wanted to mention, because I had you for a little over an hour. Don't want to keep you all day, but. Something great about the Quantum Capitalist is you recorded the whole thing in your own voice. And I always really, my favorite authors always read their own stuff. It just seems like it's such a personal creation. Why would you want someone else to read it? You know?
Wait. This is so good. I'm sorry I have to interrupt
no,
you.
No, do so. Yes.
It's almost a little bit embarrassing. It's not my voice. I used an AI voice.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I must have killed it, right? Because you actually thought it was me. You didn't sense that it was AI. That's so wild.
You know, wow. Well, you definitely, that, well that the AI being definitely channeled you. So we're good,
oh,
you know?
Well, I heard the voice and I was like, oh, this is it.
It's so good. I didn't know.
I wanted to read it myself. I started to read it myself, but after filming 1,000 videos for Transurfing TV and All the coursework and seminars I've done and all that kind of stuff. Like my voice is shot. Like even after this, I probably won't talk for a couple hours because my voice is stressed now after speaking so much. So I started to record the book in my own voice. And then quickly my voice started to do like all of its stress things that it does. And I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? So, you know, they wanted like, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 to record it for me. And then I thought, you know what, I'm gonna fuck with this AI thing that I just got an email about. And I started messing with it and I was like, hot damn, it sounds great. Can I actually pull this off? And the thing with this book and all of the additions to the book, like the lessons being free on the YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff, I learned how to do it all myself. I wrote the book. I edited it. I made the cover on my own. I learned how to do AI. I did all the videos on my own. I did like everything from start to finish.
Wow.
On my own. Can you believe that? And it was really just a practice of if I could figure out the formula so I could just crank, you know, after wow. that, just make. So this is like my new model now. It's going to be the same. Quantum Hillbilly will be the same. There will be a book. There will be a Facebook group for any questions or you want to have discussions with me about it. There will be a YouTube channel with all the audios on there for free. And yeah, I created the formula. I learned how to do everything on my own. And it was really challenging, but I did it. I stuck with it and I did it. And I'm just really happy to hear, though, that you actually thought that was my voice. That's awesome. Oh,
I thought it was. I absolutely did. Well, the production quality of the recordings with the background music and the AI voice, which truly is transparent, can't tell. It's great. So, I mean, for people who want to listen, it's a very enjoyable experience. There's a little bit of music in the background and nice intros and outros. And so it really is better than what you'd get on Audible for sure. And no wonder your voice was so perfectly metered. I thought, man, she really nails it. Okay. So anyway, now we know. Well, so it's great. So you give a lot away free. It's amazing what is free in this world. We're all rich if we just realize that. And so you can listen to the whole thing free on YouTube. And yes. then, of course, if you want to help out, buy the book. It's really great. It's worthwhile. You'll probably want to. And it's nice being able to see the exercises and make some notes and underline things. It certainly is. So, well, Renee, thank you so much for being on the show. Yeah, the website is quite easy to remember, thequantumcapitalist.com. And I'll link to everything in the show notes and such like that. But is there any last thoughts and anything you want to mention for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, quantumcapitalist.com is really just like a placeholder website. It's not really, but for more resources on transurfing, you can go to the transurfing.us website, which has quite a bit more. But yeah, we have a bunch of really active Facebook groups. We have the International Transurfing Institute Facebook group, which has like 11,000 people in it now. It's pretty active. There's the Quantum Capitalist Facebook group. We have a new transurfing dating Facebook group, which actually has turned out to be super fun. There's Transurfing TV on YouTube, Quantum Capitalist TV on YouTube. The websites, you can catch me on Instagram, reality_transurfing. And I'm pretty much if you go into the transurfing scene online, you're not going to escape my face. I am reality transurfing.
yeah, you really cannot miss. You cannot miss. If you've ever been interested in reality transurfing whatsoever on any level, you know, Renee, there's no doubt, you know? Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. This has been great. I think this is good and powerful. I think just listening to this alone will get people up that 1% riz they need to have a whole new experience, you know? So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
And